This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a card like it's your birthday.
Happy, happy birthday to anybody celebrating. I'm right there with you. My birthday on the 30th. And our esteemed colleague here, our technical maestro for this version of the show, Jeremy Paulson, also just swinging through his birthday, too. So we are all fellow Aries travelers on this crazy, wicked trip that we're all on. Hope you and yours are having a good tail end of the week. It feels like the tail end of the week, doesn't it? Because it's like that. We're going into hump day. To me, that's the long stretch into the weekend. As always, thrilled to be the skipper here once again. KD, you can email me your thoughts day or night, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Here's my thoughts. It is deep into March, and there was a snow squall in Pennsylvania that killed 3 people, and 50 people were, or 20 people were injured. It was a 50-car crash, you know, pileup. When have you heard of that? I mean, yes, we've heard of late snows. Schuylkill County Coroner David Moynihan warned Monday afternoon that the death toll could run higher because the search of the scene hadn't been completed because of burning cars. I mean, this was at 10:30 in the morning, 100 miles northwest of Philadelphia where this happened. And there's lots of people that were uploading to social media. I saw some of it. And it shows an out-of-control tractor-trailer, and one of the sequences I saw, smashing into a large dump truck, and that was it. It was, just went up in flames, just in flames, as people were watching it. So it's a weird phenomenon that causes a whiteout, and that's what a squall does. And that squall left so many people vulnerable, people trapped in their cars. And the video looked terrible with these snowy, snowy, crazy, crazy conditions. And if you live in the South, be ready, because in the forecast, hail and rain and thunderstorms and lightning, we know what that can mean, especially for roof damage. It can be absolutely awful. Speaking of damage, it still is about controlling the narrative when it comes to the Biden White House, because of what the people are calling the gaffes. And it was just the other day when the president talked about Biden and sort of taking Biden out, and it kind of was met with a lot of pushback, because it's what we're all thinking, let's face it, that why hasn't someone taken him out? What could possibly be the Russians' gain for having him in office? But pretty easy when he's all the cronies he has, and when he's been in power for as long as he has been in power. And this all stems from the Ukraine. It's one thing where Putin's a sourpuss, not really participating in any of the summits, etc., and, you know, that whole thing about keeping your enemies closer. But the fact that he went in on an innocent country and just drove and attacked, after saying they were just doing military exercises and now saying there's going to be a pullback in Kyiv is nonsense. I would not count on that at all, at all. Now, the Ukrainians are doing their best to strike back at Russia, and for the first time there was a huge explosion at an ammo depot because they nailed them. They nailed Russia. They certainly have been able to push them back somewhat, so they are getting the weapons that they need, but they still say they need many, many more. If they get those weapons and somebody has the capable hands, rather, of doing it, and they fight back, boom. That's what we want to see, right? Of course, that's what we want to see. And the aerial bombs is the thing that's so scary. So I don't see any let-up of this. There are these so-called peace talks, but how deep are the peace talks going, and is it really leading to anything? But in some cases, like in a town near Kyiv, the Russian troops were on the run. They were running back. They were retreating. They were retreating. So that's good news. But how long does that last? And that's one area of the country that I'm talking about, by the way. Were you thinking of getting another jab, a poke, a headache, nausea maybe? The FDA approved a fourth one. So depending on when you had your last COVID booster, you could absolutely, if you're 50 and above, or you're somebody who suffers from an autoimmune disease or something that slows you down, something you can prove, you could get this next round of vaccines. I wonder how many people will. I thought about this today. Oh, this blared out all over the place. But how much of that is for people feels real? How many people are going to go down that highway? I think there's such a distrust for government, even though there are certainly still some good people in the government, maybe not a lot of the people we like. But where do you cut the line of what you believe to be true and what you think is not good for your health? What do you think about the idea of a fourth dose? I mean, currently the urge or the ask is two primary shots followed months later by a booster dose for anyone who's 12 and up. So will this make you scurry to go to the doctors and get another dose? And really, if you have a severely weakened immune system, you need to have that. You need anything you could possibly throw at defeating it, at defending it, and, you know, defending it in your body, getting rid of it, doing what you can. That's a fragile group of people. A very fragile group of people. And the number of doses and where they go will be interesting, really frankly, to see, because there's people that don't want it. Yet, you're offering it. Yep, that's great. Yep. But I don't need it. I don't believe in some of the things that have happened as a result of COVID. And I think there are people that are just weary. It's not even about belief. There are people that are just weary about, oh, please don't tell us. We have to mask up again because we don't want to do it. We don't want to do it. We want to be able to see each other's faces. We don't want to have the half face on. And you remember that looks like. Because somebody made a fortune on masks. I'm not sure who, but they created and must have gotten some of their permissions, or they did it bootleg style to put out some of what they've been able to put out. Truly some really incredible artists. Because I think there are still people in the so-called pandemic zone. And when I say that, it means that your company is not calling people back into work. And it's a global, especially a global company, they're talking about the money they could save in real estate, commercial real estate costs. And how do they do that? Well, you have more people work from home. There can be problems with the spotty internet, etc., or you need some technical help. But you weigh those options versus a full force of salespeople being in an office, and I think you have your answer, right? All right, stay with us. I'm hooking you up next with a really interesting conversation.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Until you hear this story, Ella Jane West has written a book called Goodbye Narcissist, Hello Self-Love. Really focus on that self-love. A guide to overcoming abusive relationships and healing your inner wounds. Oh, how many people need this right now? How many people do we know that have had so much happen to them where they're just dragging, and self-love is something they have no clue about? So, Ella Jane, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me.
So wait till we tell your story and some of the things that you've had to overcome. But did you have self-love? I mean, you didn't have self-love, right, when you were in abusive relationships and you found yourself when your last one where you ended up, gosh, homeless.
Yeah, well, that's right, Kate. I really, I thought I had self-love, you know, but when I really started to do the inner work, I started to understand the concept of loving myself and putting myself first, and not being selfish. It's important to put ourselves first, and that was part of the process and the journey, and really looking at the wounds as a result of things that I've gone through during my childhood, and then, you know, having all those relationships where I attracted the narcissists, and I needed to heal and understand that that was going to be my work and it was my responsibility to do that.
Wow. So once you kind of delved into that, what changed the most for you?
I think what really changed the most is that once I started to do that healing work and really reflect upon the choices that I made and how I got into that situation, it just opened up a whole world for me, and I started to really embrace that work and really reflect and take that time out to look at myself, look at my choices, how did I get to where I got to, and what can I do about it, because I want a different life for myself, and it's going to take me doing that hard work in order to really have the changes that I want and need.
So you do the hard work, and then some other things along the way happen to you. I mentioned homeless. You also had breast cancer. What changed in your world? What happened to you that you knew, aha, this is, I know this is real because this is what's happening to me?
I guess it was the final relationship that I had. I've had four abusive slash narcissistic relationships. Each of them, you know, different faces, different names, but the patterns of behavior were all the same. And the final relationship was where there was a bit of a stalemate where I had a knife to my throat and, you know, I was threatened, you know, I was going to be killed. And I knew in that moment, in that instant, that I could not continue to live this life. And this is not what a healthy relationship looks like.
So, wow, how frightening is that? So you had the courage, you leave that relationship and you walked into a whole nother world, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't an easy decision to make because I mean, in the book I talk about, you know, trauma bonds. It's very hard. It can take, I know one relationship, it took me, you know, 7 times to break that cycle, to leave that cycle, because they would manipulate, they would gaslight, they would draw you back in, they would love bomb you. And it's so, so hard and difficult. So with that final relationship, I still loved him, but I had to love myself more.
Oh, so key. You had to love yourself more. So what will people find out that they can apply, that they can use? How can they find in your book, Goodbye Narcissist, Hello Self-Love, how can they, with your guide, get to the same spot that you've gotten to, that you realize, oh, I have self-love, and this is now how I count, I matter, and how can they get to that same place?
I guess everyone's on a different journey, and their circumstances are different. Everyone has to reach a point where they decide that enough is enough and they need to make some changes. And it's not until you get to that point. And you know, I want to sort of reiterate, it doesn't matter if you're in a situation, you know, a relationship where you have gone back and it's a cycle, you know, back and forth. Don't feel bad. It doesn't matter if you know, you leave the first time or you leave the 10th time. As long as you make that decision when you're ready and you put things in place to keep yourself safe, you know, and put things in place to understand that even though it may seem hopeless in the beginning, where you might have nothing, you might be homeless, you might have to leave everything behind, there is hope. There is hope. And I want people to understand that situations can change on a dime. And you've got to have faith and believe.
Oh, I love that. You have to have faith and believe. I think you've said it all, that here's what I hope people take away from reading the book. For you, writing the book, was that also kind of cathartic for you? Or just, I mean, it had to be kind of a proud moment to realize what you've walked through and how you've come out on the other side.
Yeah, look, it was, you know, if someone had said to me, you know, like 5, 10 years ago that I'd be an author and publish a book, I would never have believed them. So it was very much a part of my healing journey, because as I was writing the book, I was also reflecting, you know, in each stage of my life and what I'd gone through. And I am proud. I'm very proud, you know, that I have written this book. And my one hope is that even if it just touches one person and makes a difference, then it all would be worth it.
Oh, absolutely. That's the perfect place to end this. Ella Jane West, again, the book, you can get it on Amazon. It's easy. Just look for the title, Goodbye Narcissist, Hello Self-Love. It'll immediately come up, and it really is a guide to overcoming abusive relationships and healing your inner wounds, rather. And that's obviously, Ella, what you did. And so many people, like I said in the very beginning of this, could use this book. So thank you for coming on.
No worries. Thank you so much, Kate.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what's heavy stuff. I mean, anybody who knows anybody who's been in an abusive relationship of any sort, by the way, it's a tough thing to get your friend to open their eyes, and it is about the person themselves being able to walk away. The the feeling that I think so many contain when they can't concentrate, when they're isolated, when they have massive anxiety, and that up and down roller coaster ride has to be no place to be. And you can tell, and I thought it was perfect to air this, you can tell that certainly she has been through the ringer. And it's so hard to figure out a way to get away, especially when you have kids involved and they love the other parent, whatever, and you have to figure out how to navigate that, how to get away and how to make it physically safe for them. It's not good if somebody's grabbing or punching or shoving or any of that kind of stuff. It's not good at all. If there's anything that comes out of the Will Smith saga of where he slapped Chris Rock, it's the conversation about physical abuse and, you know, what happens when people lose their temper and how easy it is to have that happen to any of us, and then we take it a step ridiculously too far, and we don't have any clue as to how to contain what is raging inside of us. And that's so much of what we see with accidents, etc., is not an accident. It's that the person had no idea maybe they were even capable of that kind of rage, and they took it out on the person closest to them. No matter what kind of an event, life event happened, they could not hold back. And I think it has to be terrible to deal with it. I have not, but I certainly have had friends who've had to deal with it, and I know from what they have told me how difficult it can be. Incredibly difficult. There are certainly difficult moments for people all over the U.S. and the rest of the Western world who have Ukrainian relatives who are narrowly escaping the hatchet man, I call him, who's walking around and has started this war. So all families can do is hope, pray, and try to get as much aid as possible to family that they still do have in Ukrainian cities that are falling so fast now. Except for the major one, Kyiv, which is the capital, still that has been protected by Zelensky and his troops. Woo-hoo. That's good news. Less casualties. Send me your thoughts day or night, 24/7, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Hang with us in the meantime.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
1 in 5 teenagers say they've thought about suicide. The CDC reports more than 40% of teens say they feel persistently sad or hopeless. A deputy director at the CDC says the data echoes a cry for help. President Biden says it's too soon to determine whether Russia is really scaling back some military operations in Ukraine.
There's a lot of speculation, but he seems to be, I'm not saying this with a certainty, he seems to be self-isolated.
speaking at the White House, Biden saying he's also not fully buying into intelligence, saying Russian President Vladimir Putin has been misinformed about his military's performance in Ukraine. The United Nations says 400 million children in 23 countries are dealing with partial school closures due to COVID. You're listening to USA Radio News.
That was an out-of-body experience.
Gary Lay, an engineer, describing the feeling of being on Jeff Bezos' most recent Blue Origin spaceflight. Blue Origin Spaceflight Services conducting its fourth passenger spaceflight Thursday with the engineer Lay and five other passengers. Negotiations on additional COVID funding are taking place in the Senate.
The gap has been narrowed greatly, and we're intent on working with Republicans to cross the finish line.
Senate Majority Leader from New York, Chuck Schumer, noting Democrats want to authorize more money than Republicans. He called it urgent funding to extend COVID services and treatments. Schumer warning the United States can't get caught flat-footed if there's another deadly COVID variant surge, and reminding everyone,
but we need to reach 60 votes to get something passed through the Senate, and so we're going to push as hard as we can.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Have a conversation with Golden Winters. She and her nephew, who's incarcerated, Sam Indigo White, wrote this book, actually. It's incredible how this all came together. And wait till you hear about it. And wait till you hear about the poetry that's so rich and deep in this. It's called Repairing the Breach. Thank you so much for joining us, Golden.
But thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So how did Repairing the Breach come about? How did this happen?
It came about in 2012. I relocated to Little Rock, Arkansas. And I reached out to my nephew. And his spirit was so low, the anger, the hopelessness. So I started talking to him about the Soledad Brothers, introducing the Soledad Brothers, Angela Davis, and talking to him about Dr. Bernard Lafayette, Mary Liuso. And when he discovered these people, he's like, wow, auntie this, auntie that. And then I began to write him a sentence and ask him to respond to it. I'd write a paragraph, and we went back and forth from 2012 until last year. We had been writing and compiling. And we were doing, this is what is called the griot. The griot is the storyteller in West Africa. He's actually maintained the stories to tell in a community. So my nephew and I began this journey together. But it also helped me. We began to learn about each other. And one of the poems, A Mother's Words, where he talks about his mother, and talking about the pain that she endured when their father left. It talks about waking up to a house that listened to Shirley Caesar and smelling bacon and eggs and Pine Sol, his mom cleaning the house with a rag around her ears and hair rollers, and the first thing she say is, get ready for church. You know, and all these things he remember from love that She never gave up on him despite whatever he was doing. She loved him. Go to work, come home, and cook dinner for three kids, or three children. And he owns that. He owns his responsibility into where he's at. He owns that. He was taking ownership of that. But then his father walked away and go and make another family. And he doesn't understand why his father, or if he thinks his father hates him, but he says he's walking around with his father's face. And it is ironic because he has another brother that looks just like him, and they're both walking around with their father's face. But he tells his father that, I forgive you, and that if I will see you today, I will hug you and tell you I love you. But he also tells him that, I'm becoming a man, I'm transforming, and that I'm learning to love women and not disrespect them. I'm learning about family and loving who I am. And so in this, he's validating himself and telling his father all those things that hurt him. And at the end, he tells him, I love you. This was a journey of transformation for both of us, because we both, and many of us, in our communities are born from wounded wounds. We own that. But we don't know why we hurt. And we're born into anguished communities. And we don't understand that. And we're trying to get a hold of that. Because that is also the making of us into what we become. Or how we elevate and evolve and move from that. And so I've been working with him and repairing a breach. It's basically about spiritual violations. It's about repairing your soul when your soul is injured. Repairing a breach is making amends, evolving, and learning who you are. My nephew is learning who he is, but he's also learning about his family. Because I lost my yaya, my mother, at age 11. So pretty much, I'd have been on my own and growing up. And so we talked about that, because he never got to meet his grand yaya, nor his grandfather. And those are the things that community were missing for both of us. In repairing the breach, we're looking at community and how we are evolving. This is a story of hope. But it's a story of spiritual violation. It's a story of respecting yourself and learning who you are. It's a story where the poems are stories, short stories, in loving each other, in loving men, in loving women, and giving each other hope despite the circumstances, despite the weight on your back, and leaning into whatever comes. Just leaning into that.
So for Sam, and to get to know Sam, I mean, what a beautiful story. Do you think this really gave him something to focus on, something that was of value, learning about his family? Was this, I would have to think this was incredibly, an incredible gift to Sam. Did this help him with being incarcerated? Because he still is.
He is on lockdown. Yes, he is. He's still locked down, but his spirit is not. His soul is not. You know, this was an avenue for self-expression and advocating for consciousness and advocating to evolve. You know, the book provides readers with some powerful knowledge on many lessons that stream to the book and talking about yourself and knowing that you don't have to seek permission for your existence. You don't have to apologize for the space that you occupy. First and foremost, this is about self-validation and owning your success or failures and your triumphs, because that is the making of us. And, you know, the bottom line is we all have a right to be here just in who we are. We all have to find our niche, you know, and Our needs are the same, but our experiences are different. And we need that avenue of hope, that avenue of empowerment, that avenue of self-validation. And forgiving, most important, is about forgiving yourself before you can move forward.
Wow, that's beautiful. I love that. So this book, Repairing the Breach, very easy. You can get Sam White's book and Golden Winner's book. You can get this book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any place great books are sold. And I think you've really sprinkled it in our conversation. But what do you hope, Golden, that people take away from reading your book?
That I hope that people become aware of their circumstances and owning their circumstances. But also, this book is about self-validation. It's about a love. It's about self-love, first and foremost. Because my nephew and I talk through this book. We talk about our failures, but we also talk about hope and love and empowerment. And despite the circumstances or how dark it might look, there is always, always a door to enter.
I love that. There's always a door to enter, a perfect place to end this interview. And again, Repairing the Breach is the name of the book. And Golden, thanks so much for coming on the show.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Because so many of you in the mailbag still had some questions about Chris Rock's reaction, I'm going to clean this up on what we know. Oscars producer Will Packer said that officers from the LAPD were ready to arrest Will Smith for battery after he slapped Chris Rock on Sunday night at the Oscars if Rock wanted to press charges. Apparently, they were all in a conversation and in the back office of Will Packer, and they were talking about, you know, you have an option. This is battery. They kept using that word in that moment. They said, we will go and get him. We are prepared. We are prepared to get him right now. You can press charges. But lucky for Will Smith, Chris was like dismissive of that, apparently. And he said, no, I'm fine. Even to the point where he said, no. And when Will Packer said, let them finish, he didn't even barely want them to finish. So Chris Rock took a whole different take on all of this, I think, and gave Will Smith, in my mind, a pass, right? So Chris Rock, now the curiosity is his reaction. He was doing a comedy set in Boston. He's on tour. He went on the stage and he got a standing ovation from a sold out audience at the Wilbur Theater. And there just a ton of people were there. They jammed up the prices right ahead of time because of what had happened. He was dressed in an all white suit. He pleaded with the audience to quiet down. He said, yo, let me do the show. And then he addressed a little bit about what happened. He said, how was your weekend? He joked with the crowd and said, I don't have a bunch of fill in the blanks about what happened. So if you came to hear that crap, I have a whole show I wrote before the weekend. I'm kind of processing what happened. So at some point I'll talk about that crap and it'll be serious and funny. So some people in the crowd were disappointed because they were hoping he would address what happened. This is the Ego Death Tour is what it's called. And he kicked it off just coincidentally at this theater in Boston after what had happened at the Oscars, but he didn't really address that in his act whatsoever. All right, hang with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Take you to Australia for a conversation with Richard Watkins. He's written a couple of different books. In fact, he's got a trilogy that I think it's fascinating because I am into things medieval and I was really into the Game of Thrones. But interestingly enough, as some of you know about me, I've spent time in Europe and the Victorian era is also fascinating to me. So I fear if we were together and we were having tea, it would be a very, very long tea. But I'm glad to get him for all of you so that you can hear about his work. And it's interesting because we take you again to Australia. He's an accountant and a tax advisor turned really writer, and he's got a unique talent for this. So thank you for coming on.
Pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about what happened with A Wicked Winter, because this is that medieval, that glimpse and peel back into sort of a little bit of a Game of Thrones deal here. Tell us your story and what A Wicked Winter is about.
Well, The Wicked Winter is a young adult novel, a medieval adventure story. It's pretty much a story of a young warrior who is banished from his home country for various misdemeanors and has to wander into neighboring countries where he finds that country is beset with wolves. The story is that he believes the wolves are being organized by a wicked wizard, and he sets out to find that wizard and stop this reign of terror in his neighboring country.
Wow.
And he meets up with some friends there whom he knows from previous tournaments that they've come over to his own country, together they set about fighting the wizard. But there's some other people who are also looking for that wizard, and there's some people that he has crossed earlier in the story, and they're looking for help from the wizard to destroy Francois. So there's two groups of people hunting down this wizard, for different purposes.
So is Francois Cassel, is he a good guy?
Oh, he's a really good guy. He's a guy with some interesting sort of powers. He has the power to impose his will upon people through staring at them. He's also, turns out to be quite a capable warrior and fighter. But he has some fairly severe challenges in what he's trying to do. And he comes close to death several times, but he is a hero at the end of the day.
What do you hope people take away from reading A Wicked Winter, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold? What do you hope, Richard, they take away from reading this book?
It's a good adventure story. It deals with some treachery, some medieval politics. It also deals with cowardice that Francois has to deal with, not only his own sort of cowardice, which eventually turns into bravery, but the cowardice of others and how he is able to turn these people around and work them towards the common cause that he's fighting for.
Wow. All right, so we don't want to tell the whole story, but we gave you a good glimpse of what to expect there. Then we go from that sort of era and the fantasy and the gamemanship and everything that's involved in that to Dead Mrs. McIntyre, which your main character is Henry James, and Henry James couldn't be more different. Tell us about this era and the book.
Well, quite interested in Victorian England. Henry is a barrister in London. He's married to a young wife, and his wife is about to have a baby. Unfortunately, his wife and the baby die in childbirth, and Henry, on the suggestion of his good friend, the surgeon, who was trying to save his wife, goes to a southern England town, a town by the name of Heathfield, to grieve and sort of, repair his soul. So it's a book about grieving in the first place. It's a book about sort of restoration of the soul, because Henry goes back to London after he has been sort of visited or had various visitations by a young girl, the same name as his wife, Lucy. So he sort of gets back to London to try and get away from those problems. And returns to his profession as a barrister, only to receive rumours that his child may be still alive.
Wow!
So it's a mystery story. In pursuing his profession back in London, while he receives these rumours, he is introduced to a lady who is also trying to be a barrister, trying to break into the law. He advises her that it's not the profession for a woman, which was the way people thought in those times, but through the story we're going to learn that there is a place for women in the law, and it was a challenge for women to be able to get that sort of education, that sort of profession at the time. So it's a novel which sort of deals with those sorts of problems and issues.
Yeah, and you and I talked off the air, and what would you say you hope the takeaway is for people reading this book?
It's the empowerment of women is a big part of the book. And also the mystery story itself, which is quite a intriguing matter.
So we have A Wicked Winter, Dead Mrs. McIntyre. What's next for you?
I'm writing a follow-up book to The Dead Mrs. McIntyre, which takes place in the country of Wales, which is across from England, as you're well aware. Unfortunately, I can't tell you too much about it at the moment, because it leads on from what happens at the end of The Dead Mrs. McIntyre. But we also have the two following books from A Wicked Winter, which complete the trilogy, the medieval trilogy there. So I've got those with a publisher at the moment, so they'll be coming out, hopefully next year in published form.
Well, congratulations on all of that. And again, you can get Rick's books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place, like I said before, where great books are sold. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Kate. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
couple of final parting shots here as we head for the exit of this show. Joe opens up the reserves while Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, decrees you better pay in rubles or you won't get your gas. Check this out. Russia really is doubling down on its threat to cut off natural gas supplies to Western countries that refuse to pay in rubles. This is especially going to affect the Germans. So, of course, it's raising new concerns about an energy supply crunch and rationing even in Europe. So last week, it's true, that the rubles rumor started to float. So wanting to be paid in rubles rather than U.S. dollars or euros. And some of the senior Russian lawmakers say supplies absolutely will be cut off if customers refuse. Germany is Russia's biggest energy customer in Europe. And they say this flat out is blackmail and a breach of contract. But what are you going to do? How are you going to go after Putin for breach of contract? President Putin signed a decree on Thursday that does require buyers of natural gas from what he's calling unfriendly countries to hold accounts at Russia's third largest bank and settle contracts in rubles. It takes effect on Friday. It takes effect on Friday. So if they don't do it, he's cutting them off. How about that? So while that is going on, President Biden announced massive strategic oil reserves are going to be released. There was a big push to do this. In fact, being in Florida, I happened to catch a sign today that said, "Let the oil go," referring to this very thing. It was just some crudely written sign that said that somebody had hung up near on the road to one of the beaches. But anyway, President Biden did announce that he's going to release 1 million barrels a day from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try to offset the loss of Russian crude oil from world markets, starve Russia of revenue, period, and cut the cost for all of us, American consumers who are paying through the nose, so to speak, at the pump. Now, the release is the biggest withdrawal in the reserves more than 46-year history, and it's actually going to continue for the next 6 months. So that is definitely, definitely, definitely happening. And while that's happening, if we go back to the Ukraine here as our final parting shot, Mariupol evacuations are going to happen on Friday. There is one of those temporary ceasefires, which is good news for all the people that are desperately trying to get out of there. So, you know, the Pentagon was reporting airstrikes there and in Kyiv, but there were buses that arrived to deliver humanitarian aid and transport the people. Some of that aid, sadly, was stolen, but the idea was at least to get the civilians out. And there's going to be more talks, apparently, but this war continues to rage on. It's disrupting oil and natural gas supplies, and you heard what I just had to say about Russia and about the United States. Thanks for listening to this show. Make it count, everybody.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.